All right, welcome back. My name is Jasmine Babers, and I am the founder of Love Girls Magazine.
And my name is Michaela Hughes-Shaw, and I'm the vice president of the board for Love Girls Magazine. And I just want to thank you, and Jasmine and I both want to thank you for listening today.
Yep, this is Love Girls, the podcast, and we are so happy to have you. So, Michaela, tell me, what is a bad day for you?
I had one the other day.
Tell me about it.
Mm-hmm. I woke up, and my car that I just bought was making all kinds of noises, and I had to get...
What's your car's name?
We haven't named it yet.
Okay.
But send in your requests. So my car was making all these crazy noises, and it just really threw off my whole day. And that might sound so small, but when you're in that moment, sometimes the smallest things that are just inconvenient for us at the time can feel like, oh, this is our worst day right now.
No, I mean, it sucks.
It does.
No, it definitely
it
sucks.
It does. But I'll call her a she. She's fine now.
Oh, good.
We got her fixed.
Yeah, no. But yeah, when you're in those moments and things suck, like the other day, I had so many things to do on my list. I wanted to go to the grocery store. I had to go get my passport. And I was just overwhelmed. But there's this quote that I love. Mm-hmm. And it says, there are people in this world who would love to have your bad days. Mm-hmm. And it kind of like puts everything in perspective. Like, your feelings are valid, obviously. And you can sit in self-pity for a while. But you also have to realize, like, your privilege and how fortunate you are and all of your blessings, you know?
Absolutely. Like, we are fortunate enough to be able to go get a passport. We're fortunate enough
to have a car.
Yep. Even if the car is falling apart, you know, we still have a car. It's a fixable issue. And that's not always the case. And today we're going to be talking to Yasmine Arrington. And when I think of her, I think of the word strength.
Absolutely.
And overcoming. That's a pillar of our magazine, but she is truly a testament to overcoming obstacles and just being selfless about it, too. Truly just a gem.
Yeah.
She really is.
100%. I mean, she's gone through a lot. Her father was incarcerated. Mm-hmm. Her mother died when she was fairly young, and she's gone through a lot of hardships in her life, but
she has.
Most beautiful thing about Yasmine is that she overcame it all, and she does it with such joy. Mm-hmm. She just radiates light and love, and yeah, I'm so thankful to call her one of my friends. She's phenomenal.
She is absolutely phenomenal, and she talks about how fun it is to be a plus size model, which is so good because we need more representation in the fashion industry. We always have, but we still do.
Yeah.
So let's keep working towards that.
She's stunning.
She is. And she started her own nonprofit, you know, no big deal.
Dollar chips, right? Real casual.
Right.
Right.
Raising over $150,000 in scholarships.
She's a boss.
She is.
She definitely is. She defines what a boss is. And she's gotten so many accolades, so many awards. She was on BET. She received, like, the Black Girls Rock Award. She's been on Essence, just Teen Vogue.
Casual.
I mean, she's killing the game.
Casual.
And so we really love Yazzie, and we're so excited to talk to her today. Yazzie speaks.
Mm-hmm. And she's about to speak for us right now.
Yeah. Let's get into it. So today we have Yasmine Arrington. Yasmine is currently the producer and host of her own radio show and podcast, Millennial Minds. And she is the co-host of Millennial television show, I Wish You Knew, produced by the DC Office of Cable, Music, Television, and Film and the District Knowledge Network. Yazzie is also a poet. She's a blogger. She's a motivational speaker. And she's actually signed to an agency for modeling. And in 2010, while she was a junior in high school, Yazzie founded a nonprofit called Scholarships, an organization that provides college scholarships and mentoring to graduating high school seniors who have parents in prison. Yazzie has been featured in Teen Vogue. She's been featured in Essence, Black Enterprise, and Forbes magazine. And she's had numerous appearances on ABC7 News and NBC4 and The Washington Post for her community work. Yazzie holds the title of Miss District of Columbia Plus America 2016, and she was 2016 nominee for the NAACP Hometown Champions Image Award and was named the 2017 WKYS Radio 1 Top 30 Under 30. So she has a lot of experiences, a lot of accolades, and we are so excited for you to be here with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So honestly, We have gone back a few years. We met as Peace First Fellows, and you are one of my really, really good friends. So I'm really happy that you could sit down and talk to us today.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you, Jazz. It's always a pleasure, and I'm so glad that we met. I'm so glad that we met way back when.
No, do you remember the billboard in New York? Do you want to tell that story really quickly?
Sure, I can tell that story. I think it was in 2013.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was either in 2012 or 2013 or 14, one of those years. And so, you know, Jasmine and I became fellows through Peace First, which is a nonprofit organization out of Boston, founded by Eric Dawson, that uplifts and supports young social entrepreneurs who are doing things to change the world. And so we had our first sort of, we had a Peace First convening in New York, and they were like, come on guys, let's take a trip downtown, you know, down to Times Square. And I was saying to myself, oh, like, I really don't feel like, I've been to New York so many times, I really don't feel like walking all the way down here. But we had a great time. We were walking down to Times Square, and then I think it was Tammy or Eric, and they go, guys, look up, look up. And then we look up at one of the billboards. Matter of fact, there were two of them in Times Square, and they said, look up, and we looked up. And the next thing we know, we started seeing the Peace First Fellows and their pictures sliding like a slideshow. And so when I saw, I saw Jazz and we were screaming. When I saw my face, I was squealing. I almost passed out. I didn't know what to do. I just couldn't believe that, you know, they had surprised us like that and had our faces up there on the billboards in Times Square, New York. That was such a cool experience.
Yeah, that was amazing. It was one of my favorite things that I've had with you. And I mean, we have so many, but you were a Peace First Fellow because of the work that you do with scholarships. Can you tell us what scholarships is and what that means to you?
Sure. Scholarships is a nonprofit, a DC-based nonprofit that I founded in 2010, when I was a junior in high school. Scholarships, the CHIPS is an acronym for imperfect acronym for Children of Incarcerated Parents. And we provide college scholarships, mentorship, and a support network for youth who have incarcerated parents and they're pursuing their college degree. And so to date, we've awarded over $150,000 in college scholarships to 61 students. And we've had 16 graduates thus far, and it is the pride and joy of my life. Mm-hmm. And one reason I started it is And one reason I started it is because my father has been in and out of jail and federal prison for a good portion of my life. And so that's one of the reasons that sparked me to start scholarships.
It's amazing. The work that you do is really amazing, and it's super important. So we appreciate you for that.
Thank you.
No, it's so, so important. So a lot of those who may be listening may not know this about me, but my father was in prison from when I started high school to when I graduated. So he actually came home right probably at the beginning of my senior year. And so I just think that this is so important that you have something specifically catered to kids and young adults who do have a parent in prison or in and out, whatever it may be, because they need those resources even more so than some others may. It's just a really, really important thing that you're doing. So thank you for your work. And can you touch on what your relationship has been like with your father?
Yes, I actually have a good relationship with my father. Mm-hmm. I was very extremely close to my father as a child. You know, he was there for when I was born and through till I was about 3 years old, and we had a really tight bond. And he would feed me, and he would take me with him where, you know, take me out with him, going different places. And sometimes we'd have matching outfits. And when I was small, I used to love to watch the Martin Lawrence show. And and also Lamb Chop. Those were like two of my favorites. And so sometimes in the evening, I would get on his back. My dad would get on the floor and I would get on his back and watch the shows. And we would both sort of fall asleep together. And then anytime I knew that he was leaving the house, I would start crying. And so my mom and my grandmother would have to take me upstairs or take me somewhere so that I couldn't see him leaving. So that I wouldn't start hollering. But, you know, unfortunately, due to, you know, a number of circumstances, you know, that ended. And I didn't see my father again until I think I was about 17 mm-hmm. or 18. I think I had just started college. Mm-hmm. And so since then, I mean, we've had our ups and downs and our moments. You know, because things were very fragile, and I'm sure he had to get used to, you know, life outside of the four walls of prison. And but we talk on the phone, and my dad really truly loves me, and anytime I see him, he always gives me hugs and kisses, and he tells me he loves me all the time. And I'm just really great. I'm most grateful that we were able to reconvene and establish a relationship again. And when he was in prison, we would write letters back and forth to each other. So I've always, for the most part, I've had a pretty positive relationship with my father. And it's really made a big difference for me in life too.
There was an experience that I had with a little girl throughout my time as Miss Iowa. I always talk really openly about what it was like to have a father in prison, and how that affected me and how it really molded me into who I am. And my biggest message that I always send to little girls and really just anybody that needs it is that that does not have to define who you are. Just because this is going on in your life does not mean that that is what is eventually going to happen to you. That doesn't mean that you are any less than anyone else. And so I said that in one of my speeches at a school. And this little girl who was, I believe she was 7 years old, she came up to me and told me that her dad had been in prison for most of her life. And we just had a really, really good moment. She cried, I cried. There's no way to not cry at something like that. But what do you want people to know? Those who have never experienced anything like this, what would you like them to know about what it feels like to grow up with having a parent in prison?
I would say that it's... It can be confusing at times, especially if you don't have regular communication with the parent that is currently incarcerated. Mm-hmm. It can be confusing because you're wondering, sort of, especially as a young child or even a teenager, you know, well, why is my parent not here? And if you don't know what they did, you may ask, like, well, you know, what did they do to end up there? Or, you know, sometimes you may even take it personally and say, well, don't they love me? You know, I just mm-hmm. don't understand why mm-hmm. they don't want to be a part of my life. Now, that may or may not be accurate because, you know, maybe, you know, there's definitely a possibility that that parent more than likely wants to be a part of your life. But, you know, certain circumstances may impede that process, such as the relationship that your parents, you know, the parent that you're growing up with, or your mother or your father, you know, has with your other parent. You know, sometimes that can get in the way, and sometimes people's pride and feelings overcome, you know, their desire for you to actually develop and have a relationship with that other parent. And that was the case with me for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And it took my mother being on her deathbed to say, you know, Yasmin, if you want a relationship with your father, you know, I you should pursue it. It took mm-hmm. that. And that was, you know, I have mixed feelings about it. I'm very grateful that my mother, you know, sort of gave me her blessing. mm-hmm. at the same time, I always wondered why, you know, that even though they didn't work out, that the animosity was there the whole time until, mm-hmm. you know, she was kind of making her exit out of this earthly realm. And so, I mean, it's the last thing I'll say is it's emotionally draining sometimes. Mm-hmm. It can be frustrating. Some of our scholars and even myself, you know, sometimes youth with incarcerated parents get angry about it. You know, you get angry maybe that your parents not there or that you can't talk to them. And it was lonely for me for a long time. And as I got older, when I was having experiences with the opposite sex, like in the sense of, you know, like trying to develop relationships or dating or, you know, like trying to wonder, okay, is this guy playing me? Is he lying to me? And so for a while, I really wanted my dad in my life so I could ask those kind of questions. And fortunately, you know, I didn't have him through middle school and high school, like in person, but I was able to call him on the phone once I started college because he was out of prison. So it can be a very lonely, it could be an emotional roller coaster ride. But I would just say to anyone who has an incarcerated parent or loved one, just to stay encouraged, go to therapy if at all possible, and try to stay in contact with your, if you have a good relationship with them, to just write to them and maybe hopefully they'll call you every now and again. And until, you know, just try to maintain that type of relationship until they actually, you know, get out of prison and hopefully they will.
Yeah, no, that is such an important message. And also, Yazzie, I mean, you are so brave for being an advocate for this. I know that when you do work like this and you talk about the experiences that you've had, sometimes it can be triggering and it can be like exhausting to constantly mm-hmm. talk about things that hurt you or things that you've had to overcome, but you do it with such grace and you have such a sweet, joyful personality. And so it's really amazing that you do the work that you do. I love you.
I love you so much.
and also that message about mental health and getting help if you know you're struggling with something is also really important. I know it's important to Michaela as well. Mm-hmm. And you are a stunning woman, both on the inside and out. You have a great personality, but you're also beautiful. And you've been in pageants. Michaela's been in pageants. You do mm-hmm. a lot of modeling. And you were Miss District of Columbia Plus Size America 2016. I don't know if I got that name right.
Yes. Miss District of Columbia Plus America 2016.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good job, Jasmine. You were close.
I was close, right?
You were close, yeah.
I'm trying to get used to the whole pageant talk and whatnot. but I would really love it if you could talk about your self-esteem throughout these experiences and talk about beauty and what it means to be representing different – I mean, you're a Black woman.
Yes.
Plus size, but you radiate and you're amazing. I just want to know the experiences that you've had.
Yes. Well, I think I, in order to answer that, I may have to go back just a little bit mm-hmm. to kind of when it all mm-hmm. started. When I was in college, when I was a freshman or sophomore in college in North Carolina, I had a friend, her name was Rachel. And she had transferred from Guilford College and came over to Elon for a couple of semesters. She was a photography major, but I met her in statistics class. Mm-hmm. And we just developed a really great relationship, a really good friendship. And Rachel let me know one day, she said, "Hey, Yasmin, I have a project that I'm working on for one of my photography classes. Would you like to be my muse?" And I said, "Muse? Sure." Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I don't know exactly what that means. I assume you want me to pose. and so, you know, that was the first experience that I had in front of a camera that was not like pictures for the church directory or school pictures. That was the first time. Mm-hmm. And it was so liberating. It was a very unique experience. And, you know, we would try different poses and different locations on campus. And, you know, Rachel was just, the synergy was amazing between she, myself, and the camera. And she was saying, you know, Yasmin, you should think about modeling. And I was like, modeling? I was like, Rachel, I don't know about that. And I thought she was crazy because up to that point, I mean, growing up in the 90s, you know, when you thought about models, you know, you would probably think about, you know, Twiggy or Naomi Campbell, or, you know, like when you flip through the magazines, I was thinking like tall and lengthy. And I was like, I'm so not that, you know, my body. But, you know, thank goodness for the internet and for Google and for the laptop. My laptop was my best friend, you know, kind of in undergrad, because I learned so much just by Googling things on my laptop. That's how I started my blog. And so I just typed in modeling, and then I started seeing other types of women that were modeling. And I was like, what is this? And I'm clicking, and then I learned that there's a such thing as plus modeling or curve modeling, full figure models. You know, these are some of the terms that they use in the industry. And I started clicking, and that's when I started seeing some of the actual other plus models that had already broken into the industry, such as Lyris Cross, Christina Mendez, Jeannie Ferguson. There were several of Samantha Leiby at the time. And they actually, around that time, like in the early 2000s, were starting to put on workshops. So I started to go, you know, it was like I was just being drawn into that whole world. So I started going to the workshops, and then I was learning about these local fashion shows. And once I stepped into that world, I mean, there were so many other curvy plus, I'm talking about confident, went beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful, confident women just strutting down the runway and, you know, really modeling these garments. And I then at the fashion shows, you know, being surrounded by these women really helped me to gain confidence in my own self and my own body. And I met with some photographers there, and I started doing test shoots with those local photographers. And, you know, ultimately it led me all the way to New York, where I eventually was signed with a boutique agency called True Model Management. And they've really been amazing. So it has been a great journey, challenging, but I'm grateful because I'm larger even than the average plus size model. The average plus size model usually fits the sample sizes of either a size 12, 14, or 16. And I'm not any of those sizes. I was those sizes when I was in middle school and high school. The women in my family, both on my mother's side and my father's side, are full figured. They have large arms, they have small chest, small waist, large hips, and large thighs, you know? And so it's in my blood and it's in my DNA. But, you know, I make sure that I exercise my body, that I get in cardio either through swimming or going to the gym, you know, or getting on the track. And, you know, I do balance, you know, eat very well. You know, I've learned to eat to live and not live to eat. And, you know, it's always a journey because as women, there's so much pressure. And sometimes we feel like, you know, it's easy for us to look in the mirror and pick ourselves apart or be insecure about certain parts of our body. But I've learned that, you know what, Yasmin? God has put you in this body, and it is your job to honor your temple, whatever that means and whatever that looks like, and to not beat myself up. And so what that has done is that has liberated me, and it has allowed me to do things and to try new things that a lot of people might be afraid to try because they are conscious or insecure about how they look. And with modeling, it's not about how you look. It's not as much about how you look. It's more about how your confidence level. And it's about selling the garments. And, you know, it's really about channeling that inner confidence that comes out. And also, I'm very fortunate to be photogenic because there's so many beautiful people and handsome people, but not everyone is photogenic. So that's kind of like that's the long story of it all. But it's been a very empowering experience, unlike anything else. And the pageant was too. And I met some good girlfriends out of the pageant.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. I love that your biggest point out of the modeling is that it's all about your confidence. I think that's just such a good message. It's not about just your image. It's about how you present yourself. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
So I have one last question for you. And so, as you know, Love Girls is an acronym. It stands for Lead, Overcome, Value, and Empower. But we want to know, what does your love stand for?
Love for me is God. To mm-hmm. me, God mm-hmm. is love. And the love that God has for me and each and every human that God created, God has agape love for us, which is unconditional, undying love. And there's nothing that we can do or say that we can't be redeemed from, that we can't mm-hmm. ask forgiveness for. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is healing. When someone loves you through your pain, you know, that is healing. And mm-hmm. so anyway, love is transformative. So for me, you know, God is love and love mm-hmm. is God and God's agape love is what I have. So for me, it basically means unconditional, undying love.
I like that. I like that too. A lot. I like love is healing and love is transformative as well. That's amazing. Yes. So Yazzie, I'm sure that there are so many people out there who want to continue to follow your journey. Where can they find you at in terms of social media?
Yes. So on Instagram, you can find me at YazzieSpeaks_since2011. And Yazzie is YAZZIE. So that's YazzieSpeaks_since2011 on Instagram. On Twitter, it's just YazzieSpeaks. Mm-hmm. And on Facebook, you can find me at Yasmine Arrington, which is YASMINE. And Arrington is with an ARR. And you can also find me on LinkedIn. Pretty much almost any platform except for Periscope and Snapchat. I had a Snapchat, but I don't use it anymore because it takes up too much space on my iPhone. So
I feel that. Well, Yazzie, thank you so much for joining us. And you are an amazing friend, an amazing human, and we're so lucky to have you here. We love you.
Thank you. I love you too. Thank you, Jasmine and Michaela. I really appreciate you too. Keep up the great work. And thank you for all that you do, sharing your stories and empowering young girls and women everywhere to love themselves and to be confident.
Thanks so much.
All the feels. Thank you.